Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the AnimeBooey.org Anime Fan Podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for anime recommendations, news bits, and discussion that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yar!
Today is November 8th, 2015, and this is Episode 5, Interstellar 5555. Welcome, once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners to the Anime Booey Recommendation and Discussion Podcast.
Anime Booey. .org.
Where we talk about our favorite anime and hope to open your eyes to some classics that you might have missed and shine a light on some modern shows that maybe aren't getting as much love as maybe they should be. This week, we're talking about the story of the secret star system, Interstellar 5555. Slaggy, I know that you've watched this weekend in prep for this episode.
Yes.
So, we're going to play this a little bit differently than normal, because, you know, we're talking here about a piece of animation that has a running time of 65 minutes. So it would be very silly for us to go more than like 25 minutes talking about this piece. So why don't you give me the quick cliff notes of what this piece is, Slaggy?
This is essentially a space opera with no dialogue set to the soundtrack of the album Discovery by Daft Punk. So it takes the music and kind of themes from that record and sets it to animation from Toei Animation with input from Leiji Matsumoto-san.
And Leiji Matsumoto-san, really, to really get why Interstellar 5555 is such a big deal, you kind of need to understand that Leiji Matsumoto-san is a hugely influential manga artist and creative mind in, like, Japanese, like, pop. He was involved in, like, several of, like, the big, like, classic anime series from, like, the early to mid-70s. Stuff like Battleship Yamato, Space Pirate Captain Harlock, Galaxy Express 3-9, all of which are actually themselves, you know, space operas that actually explore a lot of very similar themes to what is explored in Interstellar. You know, a lot of these features end up being about, you know, sacrifice and sort of the concept of, you know, putting the greater good ahead of yourself. A lot of the focus on, you know, like spending time in your life with people and becoming close and forming a family with, you know, the people close to you. A lot of, you know, remembering people who have passed on. And it's not really surprising, you know, Daft Punk themselves have said, you know, that they actually grew up watching Leiji Matsumoto-san's work, the anime adaptations of his work.
Particularly, I think Galaxy Express 3-9 was, like, cited as one of their favorites.
Which, by the by, is super, super awesome. Depending on your age, it's possible that you have seen some of Space Battleship Yamato. It was released in North America years and years and years back as Star Blazers, which was still running in syndication when I was a kid.
I forgot. I always forget that Star Blazers was Yamato.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's real interesting, you know, basically that Daft Punk, they put together this incredible piece of music, Discovery, which obviously is a record that I think is absolutely fantastic.
Iconic, still holds up.
Absolutely iconic and still holds up today. And, you know, they went to Matsumoto-san because they had already, like, a rough idea in place about wanting to do a movie adaptation of this record about, like, an interstellar pop band that is, like, abducted and sort of taken control by, like, the evil record label and forced to make, like, artistic compromises, but ultimately, like, find their own strength to, you know, pursue their real art.
Yeah, it's amazing. And by the way, I'm mistaken, I just looked at my notes. Captain Harlock was Daft Punk's, like, favorite show.
Oh, when they fantastic. Were growing up. I'm a huge Harlock / Herlock fan. Big love that stuff.
Yeah, you named a Death Knight after him.
I did name a Death Knight after that character. In fact, one of the big gaming forums on the internet, I'm on with a Harlock avatar. So anyway, it's just a fantastic movie. It's only 65 minutes. It's super easy to watch. The entire thing is posted on the internet unofficially. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on basically every, like, video sharing site. So
when I was searching, there was a Blu-ray release. I'm not sure which region it was for, but I did see there's Blu-ray DVDs available if you search for them.
Yeah, the DVD was for a time at least super out of print. But you know, if they have a Blu-ray out now, that would be fantastic. So, and definitely something I'll have to look into. So let's talk a little bit more here about the piece, Slaggy. You know, specifically, obviously, character designs by Matsumoto-san and his team. They obviously did, like, the big story work. But you were telling me about the actual director of the piece, Kazuhisa Takenouchi-san.
Yeah.
And you were mentioning that he had directed episodes of some of our favorite TV series.
Yeah, so Takenouchi-san doesn't have, at least from what my research pulled up, that prolific of a career, but directed a handful of episodes, particularly during, like, Sailor Moon R, like, during that arc, which, you know, was some of the best episodes. Did some work on Magic Users Club. After this, ended up directing an early One Piece movie. Did a little bit of storyboard work on things like Dragon Ball, the original Dragon Ball, and also Revolutionary Girl Utena. So, like an episode here and there, so just, you know, not really a name that, you know, most people are probably familiar with, but, you know, I would say he did a bang-up job here with you know, Interstellar.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I would agree. I was actually somewhat surprised, you know, looking at his resume and what he's done, that he had directed so relatively few pieces, because Interstellar, it feels like, you know, a production that was made at, like, the top of people's game. It does not feel like, oh, this is my first, you know, feature-length presentation or whatever.
Right. And I mean, the thing is that also with Daft Punk being French, it's really interesting that, you know, French cinema is always typically what a lot of people look to, you know, at least in the Western world, as, you know, some of the more experimental stuff. And so, you know, it's really interesting blending that idea, like, you know, having no dialogue at all. It's basically, it is just like a space opera, but with the, you know, anime visuals. So it's like a really interesting kind of merging of cultures as well. And, you know, you think of things like, what was that one movie, The Triplets of Belleville, that was pretty big in the early 2000s that had, like, very little dialogue. So, you know, I think it's, like, really interesting just to kind of think of it in that respect as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, I want to follow up on what you were saying. I looked on Amazon for Blu-rays of Interstellar, and you can find them for $35.
That's worth it.
Totally worth it to me, especially if you, like myself, absolutely love Daft Punk. And I want to talk a little bit about, Saigi, I want to talk about just, like, some interesting stuff. Like, what caught your eye watching Interstellar for the first time?
I mean, I think the thing that's so great about it is that, you know, aside from the music, it's using visuals to tell the story, and that, you know, so just like the, you know, the extra detail that had to be put on, you know, like with the action and the way that those sequences were directed, I just think really highlights, you know, the work of all the, you know, creative staff involved there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I loved all of, like, the little touches of, like, because this story isn't about Daft Punk, but I love that, like, Daft Punk appears in several places in the feature.
Yes, they're, like, at a music awards, you know, kind of like as a cameo, and it's really cute.
Yeah. You know, and we already talked a little bit about themes of the piece. This is the point where I really like to do that, but, you know, the themes are really about, you know, art and creation and sort of how sometimes, you know, creativity is in opposition to, you know, capitalism and
right.
The quest for monies.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, you know, when you hear, like, oh, it's based on a record, it's much more along the lines of, like, Pink Floyd's The Wall rather than the Beatles' Yellow Submarine movie.
By which you mean it has a point other than just being super cute.
Yes. And, you know, mostly driven by the music. So, but, I mean, I don't know. The Wall is just a whole other thing, you know. But so I would say Interstellar is much more accessible than The Wall is.
Yeah.
musically and in terms of you know, the actual story and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think it holds up really well, and I'd love to see what the Blu-ray looks like. I'm sure it's gorgeous if they cleaned it up a little bit, you know, there's some colorizing. I am not sure if they did, but I assume they did, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's typically what you see, especially with, like, you know, these anime productions. And, I mean, I just think, you know, not only, like I said, the record holds up really well today, but, I mean, the story just holds up really well, too. And, you know, I mean, you just think about kind of like the manufactured pop star thing. And, like, you know, without getting into spoiler territory, it's implied that this has been happening for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, that they, like, you know, abduct aliens and, like, brainwash them into being hit artists and then... you know,
discard them when they're done.
Yeah, so
absolutely. So let me ask you, and this is something that I ask for everything we watch. What were some of like the key moments or scenes that stuck out in your mind? Just parts where you just pause and like, just like, dude, that was so cool.
I mean, I think, you know, anything involving Shep, who is kind of like the one who came to save the Crescendals, which is the name of the band, which. I had forgotten that was actually, that's a track off of the record. I was like, oh, what a cute name. I'm like, oh, yeah, that track is called Crescendals. So, you know, Shep and Stella, the bass player in the band, kind of have, like, this romantic arc. So it was like, any moments with them were definitely, you know, the fact that that story and that romance was being conveyed without any dialogue, you know, was really well done. And just, I think, after they kind of break free of the control of their record label, like, everything after that was just, like, you know, really, were like, I felt story-wise that it was, like, we really started to pick up. Because, you know, before that, it was just kind of, you know, like... Oh, they were playing on their planet. They got abducted. They got molded into perfect pop stars. But then, like, the action really picked up there. And then, you know, they end up going to this, like, almost Castlevania-type castle. Or, like, a Vampire Hunter D sort of castle, you know. And so, just really, like, that was really interesting to see it kind of, like, you know, expand from just, you know, a sci-fi setting. You know, it's, there's a lot of fantasy elements that come into play, too.
All right. Normally, at this point, we would talk about the music, but I think we already have.
Well, I mean, we could talk a little bit about Discovery.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, I expect that everyone who's listening to this has some amount of familiarity with this record. You know, obviously, One More Time came from this record. It remains, like, Daft Punk's biggest song.
Well, Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger, Digital Love, also big singles.
Aerodynamic was a fairly big song for them as well. So, yeah, no, I believe that probably anyone listening to this already knows.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're familiar with Daft Punk, it's most likely that you're familiar with things from this record. You know, this record in there, this isn't Music Buoy, but, you know, it was notable for kind of going from more generic house style music to being more of like a disco French, like French house always has more of like a little bit of disco spin typically. So it's, you know, a lot of like electronics vocoders and such. And, you know, the fact that they're like kind of like alien robots, I think really plays in well with that. So, I mean, you know, the sci-fi, I mean, and you think of Daft Punk, you know, they wear the robot helmets and stuff. So, I mean, this, just the setting of Interstellar was perfect. It's clear to see why they wanted to, you know, take that route and pursue it. And I think it, you know, the thing is that I love that record, but sometimes, you know, I won't be as invested in some of the more, like, instrumental tracks, you know? But I think the fact that this is, like, you know, putting on a record and watching something with the sound off, you know, like Wizard of Oz with Dark Side of the Moon or whatever you want. But, you know, the fact that you have it all there laid out really made me appreciate some of the, like, lesser known or, like, the deeper cuts. So I think that's something that serving as a soundtrack really, in a lot of ways.
So it almost sounds like this movie elevated Discovery for you.
It did.
Well, and that's fantastic because Discovery, among a certain sect of people, is, like, one of the great records. So,
and I already felt that way. This just took it to a whole other level for me.
Wow. Well, that's high praise. And to me, again, you know, like we said, if you're familiar with Daft Punk's music, you've probably heard these songs. You probably know if you like them. If you like these songs, this movie is a no-brainer. Like, order the Blu-ray, watch it on, you know, one of the YouTube rips or whatever. Just make a little time for this piece. It's fantastic. If you're looking for something experimental and interesting, but you're not super familiar with Daft Punk, I'd still say check it out. The only way I would say do not look into this is if the idea of watching a narrative play out with a soundtrack but no dialogue. If that sounds tough for you, then this might be one to be a little wary of. But otherwise,
yeah,
I think this is a fascinating footnote. Both in the anime world and in, you know, the world of music and Daft Punk in particular.
If you were someone who really liked the first half of WALL-E, and you want something a little more along that line experimentally, like, I mean, also similar.
Any final thoughts, Slaggy?
No, just that, you know, just as a footnote, that the first four episodes that comprise the film originally were shown on Cartoon Network during their Toonami Midnight Run.
Yeah, I actually watched them at work when I was working at a bowling alley back in the day.
That's awesome.
It was very cool, yeah. But I want to move on with this discussion because, again, we're already nearing the end of what I had wanted to record.
Overall,
for this episode,
like, really critically acclaimed. But some of the critics said, you know, that, you know, if you're a fan of the band, then it's, you know, it's fine, but it's kind of otherwise, you know, not really of interest. But a lot of people said, you know, that it's, you know, really a visual treat, you know, really unique in how animation and music blend together to, you know, tell stories. And I have to agree. And I mean, I think it's so cool that Daft Punk were such big fans of Leiji Matsumoto-san and Captain Harlock and stuff, that they took advantage of the fact that they, you know, became very popular to be like, hey, we really want to make this, you know. So I just thought that was really cool. And also, I guess, kind of like, France has always kind of had a love affair with anime too, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we can actually talk about that
Belle
later
and Sebastian
date.
Was really big in France, wasn't it?
I believe so. And we can talk about this at a later date, because there's actually a good series for us to connect that conversation with. But I'd like to move on, since, again, I don't want to record an episode longer than the actual piece we're talking about.
Indeed.
all right. Well, then let's talk about what's up.
I said, hey, what's going on?
Slaggy, I want you to kick this off this week. What have you been watching?
You know, I haven't been watching a ton lately, but I did catch the first episode of One Punch Man, and it was very silly. You know, I didn't know exactly what to expect, but very, very, very silly. I mean, you know, Crab Man with nipples drawn on him, and so he's like, I'm going to kill a child with a butt chin. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of it. And, you know, you know, I had been looking for something silly and lighthearted to watch. So unless it suddenly has like a surprising dark turn where it gets super serious or anything, I think it'll be a good light viewing for me.
Excellent. Yeah, no, I would probably not say that. So I think you're fine. for me, you know, I've also been watching One Punch Man, catching up on a few older series that I want to mention by name because they're sort of research for later episodes of this show. But, you know, just definitely watching as much anime as I can fit into my schedule. So, you know, very exciting stuff.
Awesome.
So, Slaggy, I think you mentioned we had some social links this week.
We do. We asked over on our social media. This week, we talk about the Daft Punk and Leiji Matsumoto collaboration, Interstellar 5555. Have you seen this experimental experience? And Lil Daddy's Pizza over on Twitter replied to us with a multi-tweet saying, yes, story of the secret star system. Like many Toonami faithfuls, I saw the first segments on Cartoon Network back in 2001. It was my introduction to house music and Daft Punk. I loved it. Even though my family members within earshot were annoyed by the constant refrain of one more time. Too bad. Originally, I thought it was...
Too bad.
And this is interesting because he says, originally, I thought it was just an old anime they put music over since the look is so similar to Galaxy Express 3-9. I'm super excited to hear you talk about it. I feel like it's never really considered part of anime canon. Thank you, Little Daddy's Pizza. And that's why we were excited to talk about it, too. You know, some people maybe don't even really consider this anime, but, I mean, I definitely do.
It's made by Leiji Matsumoto.
And, you know, that's what we try to do here on our Buoy shows is, you know, not, we don't always do super left-to-center stuff, but we try to give you, you know, news and views and tidbits that maybe aren't on your radar, so thank you. Other than that, we have a few other social medias to catch up on. We have a follow-up from Crystal Y. Diaz clarifying that she had imported something, and it was a Cowboy Bebop import for that game, I believe. So that's very cool. I feel like she was talking about that when we saw her the other day, too.
Yep.
And Happy Natto saying, AnimeBuoy.org always makes me think of Kate Bush. This time, Spike Point brings up Hammer Studios, and I'm all, and he linked the video of Kate Bush's Hammer Horror. Oh, you're special.
Keep running up that hill, girl.
Yes. We got a tweet from Emiru69 saying, anime I recommend, Kino's Journey, available on Hulu, English dub for free, don't need a subscription. Which you were mentioning Captain Spike is known in Japanese as Kino no Tabi. So that's awesome.
Yeah, so Kino's Journey is a fantastic series. One of the first, like, short series that I really got into, but it has, some movies and OVAs as well. It's definitely something we are going to talk about here on the show because it's definitely left of center. It's very dark, but it's also very human. It's just a really great
piece. Is it also very dancer?
What?
You said it's very human. Is it also very dancer?
I would not call it very dancer. That I wouldn't.
All right. Well, we've got another tweet to wrap us up here from Happy Natto again, talking about Kino no Tabi, saying my mom gave me a preview copy of the first novel she got for her library. I loved it. So dark, but so optimistic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a really great way to put it. It's, it's good stuff, definitely worth checking out, and we'll tell you all the reasons why in a future episode.
Wonderful.
You want to do our solicitations, please? We need to wrap this up.
Yes, we do. So we love your feedback.
Love it.
We like your iTunes subscriptions, ratings, and reviews.
Like them.
We love Stitcher Radio and hope that if you're over there that we are stitching you up. I don't know. I need to come up with a better wordplay there. But we also like your Facebook likes, and we effing love Twitter.
We effing love Twitter.
And you can catch all of our episodes so far, a modest amount compared to Game Buoy, but we're over at animebuoy.org.
Animebuoy.org.
So please go check us out there. And with that, Captain Spike, you got a few little shout-outs for us?
Well, if you're into what we're doing here on animebuoy.org,
animebuoy.org,
you should check out what we do on our main show, that is the gamebuoy.org video game podcast.
Gamebuoy.org video game podcast.
We are your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be.
Most definitely.
In addition, I'd like to point you in the direction of the Starboard Power Coupling podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail, as well as Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, a professional wrestling podcast for the common man. Slaggy, why don't you take us to a library?
Ooh, girl, the library is open over on Reading is Fundamental, a seasonal show where myself, Captain Spike, and our friends Delvin from VG Realness and Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, other gaming podcasts, talk about the show RuPaul's Drag Race. And we're catty and sassy, and we have a good time. We're looking forward to that starting back up, hopefully pretty soon after the first of the year. No announcements, really, Woo-hoo! To specific dates yet, but, looking forward to that.
I miss our Reading as Fundamental listeners. They are so much fun. All right, well.
And also, speaking of Game Buoy, if you're into video games, please go over there, and we shout out some great video game podcasts.
Indeed. All right, well, it's time to wrap this up, so thank you all so much for listening to us this lovely Sunday evening. Hopefully you've enjoyed listening to this even a fraction of how much we've had talking to you. We'll be back with you, hopefully shorter than the gap between this episode and the last next time.
Yeah.
But until then, keep watching, keep thinking, and now you're playing with power. Superpower.
I think you mixed up our outros.